Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. All
right. Good to see everybody here this morning. Hope everybody had a good Thanksgiving. I know I did. I caught up with my family, and here I am with you.
Amen.
And I am thankful for all of you, because both of my natural family and God's family have been very encouraging to me.
Amen.
And that's what I want to do for you this morning. I want to try to encourage you and talk about something that it's God has put on my heart that we all have in common. I'd like to thank the opportunity. It's an honor to stand up here before you and be able to do this. I'd like to start off and read the scripture out of Matthew. These are all these scriptures are very well done and it's very basic. But we need to continue going over them. We can be forgetful sometimes. Matthew chapter 7, you know this very well. Therefore, every one of you who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the wind blew and beat against the house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the wind blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash. Mm-hmm. You know, what I'd like to, what I'd like you to do is you think about your spiritual house and where it stands, as it stands right now. I don't know where you're at in this life that you have. But Jesus said that there will be trouble in this life. There will be storms in life. In Virginia, we have all kind of weather. But one thing that comes every once in a while, it'll be all right. And when a hurricane comes, I remember Isabel. I don't know if you were here during Isabel, but it hit Petersburg pretty hard.
Yeah.
When a big storm like that comes, you can rebuild. If you survive, you can rebuild it. But it'll never be the same. That change, some of the changes that occur, that storm does, the destruction in its path, it'll never be the same.
Oh.
And so it is. Spiritually, in these trials we have in this life, they come. They'll try to destroy you. And that's what Jesus is talking about right here. And I don't know where you're at. I don't know if you're in a storm right now, as I am, or I don't know if you've come out of a storm. And we look back and we remember everything that God did for us during our storms. I don't know if you have not experienced a Category 5 hurricane or not, but what we're doing with our children is we're preparing them. And even they have storms.
Amen.
They come into their lives. But we need to prepare for the next one as well. Everybody's going to have these troubles because Jesus said that everybody would have these troubles. But I'd like to look at two men. One of them was Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 19. I got all these markers. And we know the great prophet Elijah. We know that the Israelites were rebelling against God. They were worshiping Baal. And he prayed for it not to stop raining. And it stopped raining for him. Elijah prayed and it stopped raining for 3.5 years. He goes up on Mount Carmel. And the false prophets of Baal prepare a sacrifice and he prepares the sacrifice. And right there in front of all the Israelite people, the false prophets are shamed by their false God who could not light the fire. And here Elijah even soaked his wood and poured water all over it, and God showed the people and burned up the sacrifice, burned up the wood, burned up the stones and the ground. After that, Elijah prayed for rain, and after 3.5 years, it rained. Yes. So these great works that Elijah, God was using Elijah to do. And here it comes in chapter 19. From way up high, spiritual high, doing God's work, working alongside God, or for God, to this point in his life. Chapter 19, verse 1. Now Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, "May the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like that of one of them." Elijah was afraid, and he ran. He ran for his life. And when he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there. While he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, he came to a broom bush, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. "I've had enough, Lord," he said. "Take my life. I am no better than that of my ancestors." Then he lay down and fell asleep. I don't know if you've ever been to this point in your life of despair, of exhaustion. I don't know if you've been to this point or not. He wasn't suicidal, but he called out to the Lord and he just said, "I'm done. I can't go on." I found myself there. I don't know if you have.
Yeah.
But you probably will get to that point sometime in your life if you not already have. Mm-hmm. I'm going to skip around, but you know this as well. When Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he called out to the Father, he prayed, he said, "Father, if you're willing, please take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done." And he asked three times. Three times. And an angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. And I'm not trying to compare my circumstances to their circumstances at all. They are not equal. But Jesus was sweating. Jesus was in anguish. And I don't know about you, I don't know if you've been in this situation or not, but when you were in despair and in anguish and crying, Satan has used that to make me feel guilty. Because we know that we're not supposed to be anxious about anything.
Right.
Lord, why? I'm too weak to be your servant. I'm too weak to go on. All kinds of things go through your mind as you're laying on the floor crying out to the Lord.
Yes.
But Jesus did it. Elijah did it. All of these people in the Bible went through their trials. And we're going to go through the trials, but Satan really tries to beat us up when we're down. He doesn't let off. That's when he really, that you're not worthy. That you're powerless.
Yeah.
And we need to fight that. We need to know that's going to happen. That's not the important thing. As long as we're in this body and on this earth, we're going to have those feelings, and physically it's going to take its toll on us.
Yeah.
Emotionally, our trials and the storms of this life are going to take its toll mm-hmm. on us physically. That's not the important thing. We know about Job. I just want to look at this rock that we stand on. This rock that we're building our house on. It's going to withstand any storm that comes our way. It's because we've all been through these storms and we're sitting here right now. Our house still stands.
Yeah.
And it's been tested. It'll continue to be tested, but it has been tested. Hasn't failed. But just looking at Job and who Job was, in chapter 1, he said, "Then the Lord said to Satan, 'Have you considered my servant Job?'" Listen to what God says about Job. "There's no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil."
Yes.
Look how proud he is of Job.
Man.
He's proud of him. And what we need to know is that we are God's children, and he is just as proud of us.
Amen.
That's why he allows Satan to test us, to test our faith, because he knows that we will persevere.
Yeah.
But he loves us, and he's proud of us. You know, Rose and Charles are not perfect. I'm telling y'all. But they're mine.
Yeah. All right, brother.
They're mine. And I'm not going to let anybody take them. And it, so it is with God. We're his.
Man.
And they had this conversation with Satan. God talks with Satan, and Satan says, "You know, you can't let me get to him. If you let me get to him, I'm sure I could pull him away." And God says, "Very well, and everything he has is in your power, but on the man himself do not lay a finger." And this is another important thing, another part of this rock, is that God is in control.
Amen.
Satan could not do anything unless God allowed him to do it.
That's right. That's right.
Later on in chapter 2, it says, "Skin for skin," Satan replied, "a man will give all he has for his own life, but now stretch out your hand and strike his flesh and bones, and he will surely curse you to your face." Then the Lord said to Satan, "Very well, he's in your hands, but you must spare his life." Knowing that God is in control, we hang on to that during this time. God is in, we say God's in control. God is in control. There's another time in which Jesus was talking to Peter. He said, "Simon, Simon, Satan has asked, he has asked to sift you out as wheat." Again, God is in control. But look what Jesus did. He said, "But I pray for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers." God knows that we can handle what we can handle. He's not going to give us more than we can handle. And he's going to get us through these storms of life.
Amen.
Some of the problems that we have and some of the storms we bring on ourselves.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
By being disobedient to God. Mm-hmm. By messing up, just like Simon did. Simon didn't lose hope. You know how guilty he felt when that rooster crowed and he looked and Jesus had that hurt look on his face and what he had just done. But Simon did not keep that from being restored. He never gave up. It's another thing Satan does. You've done too bad. You've messed up too much. And that's what we've been talking about here recently, is there's nothing Jesus can't fix.
Yeah.
James chapter 1. Why are we going through these things? Why are we going through these trials? Why does God let us suffer? Why does God allow Satan to tempt us into going? In verse 2, chapter 1, it says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the test in your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking in anything. I can talk to you from my experience of being in the storm that I am in, that I have grown stronger, and I know you have too. You get through storms, and you're stronger from them. Jesus told Peter when he came back, when he was restored, to come back and strengthen his brother. Well, that's what we do when we get through a storm. We strengthen our brothers and sisters. We strengthen our brothers and sisters by our suffering and our perseverance. I've had a lot of encouragement. I can't believe how God can give us strength to carry on. It's just amazing to me.
Amen.
And that is one of the things that has amazed me the most, is how we can become, and how God can lift us up to carry on, that we don't give up. Elijah wanted to give up, and God lifted him up. He sent an angel to Elijah. He made him some food. He lay down and rested again. He made him some more food. I'll tell you, we know that that food is not what got Elijah up. Yes, his body needed food, but that man, at the point of what he was at, he needed encouragement. He needed the strength of God to lift him back up and get him on his way, because his work was not done yet. Jesus, when he was in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights, he had been tempted by Satan. God sent an angel from heaven to take care of Jesus. And Peter, as I said, Jesus prayed for him. We need to be praying for one another as we do. I need your prayers. You need my prayers. Prayer. You know, when I said we're not supposed to be anxious about anything, it doesn't say you're not going to be anxious about anything.
Yeah.
When you are anxious, you do what Elijah did. You do what Jesus did. You cry out to the Lord. You pray. You give it to Him. These are the things we hold on to, and this is why our house doesn't blow down. This is why we don't lose it, because we believe this to be the truth. God has never let us down. Anytime we cry out to the Lord, when have you cried out to the Lord, as Peter did when he was sinking in the water, and he not grabbed your hand? It's never happened. I've been in pain. You've been in pain. We've been in severe pain, where we didn't know how we were going to get out of it. And we cry out, and He reaches out His hand and lifts us up. It's just incredible. The scripture reading that I picked out: no temptation has ever overtaken you except what is common to mankind. People have been through what we've been through. Jesus has been through what we've been through. He's been tempted in every way, including to give up. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. Just amazing. We are His children. He knows us. He knows our heart. Lord, I love you. Why am I going through this? You're going to make it. He knows that you love Him. He's in control. He's not going to allow Satan to give you more than you can handle. And when you get through it, you're going to be stronger. And you're going to be able to help others. Not only that, but you are going to be able to praise Him for all that He's done in your life. When you watch a Christian suffer, there's something different about them. persevere. We persevere. That's what I have for you today. I hope it's encouraging. These are basic things that you, when you are down in despair, when you feel like Elijah, you hold on to him. He never lets us down.
Amen.
I don't know what you're going through in your life right now. I know this can be a painful time for some people. When you lose somebody, when you're fighting with your health, when you have problems in your family this time of year, God's going to get us through all of this. God never gives up on us. People give up on him, but he never gives up on us.
Amen.
I don't know if you need prayer this morning, but we're going to sing a song and have an invitation. And there's nothing more powerful than having this church family pray for you, because y'all have been praying for me.
Amen.
Thank you for letting me speak this morning.
Thank you, brother.